Greetings, and welcome back to the continuation of your C++ studies, starting with Lecture 10. In this second C++ course, we will begin to move away from the text-based console applications we have been building, and begin to examine Windows programming. However, before we do that, we need to make four stops and examine some last-minute C++ techniques, in particular, template programming, exception handling, alternative number systems and bit operations, and a primer of the STL. After these topics have been studied, we will have finished our study of the C++ language, and we will make the transition to Windows programming. Of particular interest to us as game programmers is the ability to do graphics in Windows, something which is not possible with pure C++. We will learn about fundamental graphic concepts such as double buffering, sprites, animation and timing, and masking. By the end of the course, we will have developed a fully functional 2D air hockey game, complete with graphics, physics, artificial intelligence, and input via the mouse. After completing this second course in C++ and Windows programming, you will be adequately prepared for your first course in 3D graphics programming. So hopefully, now we are motivated to work hard and ready to begin the course. Box A, Chapter 10 Goals. Dictionary.com defines a template as follows. A template is a document or file having a preset format used as a starting point for a particular application so that the format does not have to be recreated each time it is used. The idea of templates in C++ is similar. For example, suppose you have a sort function. The sorting algorithm is essentially the same no matter which kind of objects you use, provided that the objects have an ordered structure to begin with. So clearly, we would like to sort all types of things, such as numbers, strings, or maybe even sort objects in a 3D world based on the distance from the player. So you might guess that we need to write a separate sort function for each type of object. These sorting functions will do the same logic, but they will work with different types. So the idea of C++ templates is to prevent this kind of code duplication. If the procedure is the same, and only the types are different, why not make a procedure template, and then plug in different types as needed automatically? This is the idea of templates. Going back to the sort function, we will make a generic sort function where the type is variable, and thus we can plug in different specific types into this type variable. So long as the substituted type supports the operations and methods used in the generic function, it will work. For example, a sorting function will employ the less than operator, and so any type you plug into the sort function template will need to have that operator defined. Obviously, all built-in types support the less than operator, but if you are using user-defined types, then you will need to overload the less than operator if you want to use the generic sort function. In reality, when you substitute a type into the template function, the compiler generates a function for that type for you by plugging the substituted type into the template variable type. So really, behind the scenes, there is a separate function being made for each type of object you want to use the function with. However, the compiler is doing this work for you, and the code duplication won't clutter your project. In this chapter, we will look at making template classes and template functions. Before continuing, we would like to say that the subject of templates is a wide subject, and we can only introduce the basics in this chapter. In fact, there are entire texts on the subject. For advanced or interested readers, we refer you to C++ Templates, The Complete Guide, by David Vandevoorde and Nikolai M. Josutis. Box B, Example, an interval class. Consider this small data structure, which represents an inclusive interval from A to B, as shown in the box. The main method we will focus on here is the midpoint method, which returns the middle point of the interval. The implementations to the constructors are not shown. So the float interval class in the box works with float types. However, it's not hard to imagine the need for other types of intervals. For example, you may want to describe integer intervals, character intervals, 3D vector intervals, and color intervals. The most obvious solution would be just to define these additional interval classes. However, this creates a lot of additional code. Moreover, we may need to create new interval classes later on, and we would then have to define additional classes. It does not take long to realize that this process becomes cumbersome quickly. Now, note that, for example, if we were to make an int interval class, the only difference between float interval and int interval would be that the float type would be replaced by the int type. That is to say, these classes are essentially the same, only the type they work with is different. Box C, example in interval class continued. So based on the previous observation, we get an idea. If we could create a generic interval class using a variable type, as box C shows, and if we could specify a type argument, we could generate new interval classes that work the same way, but with different types, by substituting the type argument for the variable type. Box D, example, in interval class continued. So for example, if we could specify type float as the type argument, then the class shown in box D would be generated. So basically, a class template is a class generating machine. Note that the code shown in box C and D is not C++ code, but is used to illustrate the idea of templates. The actual C++ code is quite similar. We will look at a real C++ example on the next slide.